Thank you. Thank you for that introduction. So now I have to be thoughtful, witty, and intelligent. And for those of you who don't know me, as Dave said, I'm Daniel. I'm married to Naomi, who was helping lead worship earlier. We've been married about 10 months, I was told earlier. And we've been at River for over a year, I think. And one of the things I really love is when people give witty and intelligent titles to their talks. And I very creatively, I think, and cunningly titled this talk Psalm 19. And I imagine that gives you an insight into what Dave was saying earlier about my intelligence and wit. And also a clear idea about what we're going to be looking at over the next 10, 15 minutes. And if you strip it back, that's exactly what revelations do. Revelation is a really fancy word that we use a lot in Christian circles, but perhaps doesn't mean that much to a lot of people. But a revelation is a really simple idea. It's when you something that was hidden or unknown becomes known. There's not really any more to it than that. And Psalm 19, it's a psalm that loves revelations. It's obsessed with them and it's all about them. In fact, I think it's a three-part poem that looks at the different ways which God has chosen to teach us about himself by revealing himself. So let's jump straight into the first section. So it begins, if you could bring the words up, Ian. This is what you can tell I'm new. So I'm going to... There we are. Beautiful. So it begins, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands, and day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge, and they have no speech and they use no words. No sound is ever heard from them, and yet their voice, it goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God's pitched a tent for the sun, and it's like a bridegroom coming out his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. And it rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit all the way to the other. And nothing is deprived of its warmth." So Beth earlier, she was talking about how we can know a bit about Psalms and their story. And this is another psalm written by David. But unlike her psalm, we don't actually know when he wrote it. We don't really know what the context is behind it. But I have a sneaking suspicion that David, he wrote this psalm when he was a shepherd in the fields. And the reason I think this is because I don't really know anything about shepherding, being honest with you. But in my mind, it leaves you with plenty of time to sort of lay on your back, looking up at the sky and the sunset, maybe keeping an eye on your sheep every now and then. But for the most part, being able to see the beauty in creation. And in fact, you can see a picture of the night sky there. That's actually the night sky over part of Israel where David may well have been looking after his flocks. So you can see why David has such a special place in his heart for the skies and sunsets. And it's why I think the psalm is obsessed with the sky. David, he invites you to look up and look around at creation. And I think the psalm basically is saying that creation, it has a gospel to share. That means it's got some good news that it wants to tell you. But what is this good news? Well, I think it's really simple, and it's that God exists, and that there's not really anything more complicated to it than that. David, he doesn't leave room to look out at the world and see some kind of cosmic accident. Instead, he sees the work and the handiwork of an artist. And I like to think artwork, it tells you something about the artist, doesn't it? I mean, we saw earlier how we had these fantastic, experienced actors and how they brought their own personality and character to their roles. Like, I saw Dave and Saul portrayed in a completely new way. And, you know, chefs do the same thing. They can put a spin on a classic dish. Or dancers, writers, all kinds of creatives are able to bring and add their own personality and character to something that we've seen 100 times. And I think you can look out at the world and see the same thing. You're looking at God's creation, which means you're looking at his artwork. And that means that it reflects his character. It reflects his personality. It reveals something of who he is. And I don't just mean the rugged mountains and the paintbrush sunsets. Everything and everyone in their goodness reveals something of God. And David is saying that all this, the whole of the winding cosmos, it's one giant and unending proclamation of God's glory. So I'd encourage you to do as David did and spend time looking out and being God-oriented in how you view creation. Because as you do, you will see the Creator revealed in his artwork. And so in this section, we've maybe seen how creation can reveal its Creator. In the next section of Psalm 19, you can see how words can reveal something about the person who spoke or wrote them. So let's jump straight back in. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, and it refreshes the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, and they make wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, and they give joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes, and the fear of the Lord is pure." Enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They're more precious than gold, than much pure gold, and they're sweeter than honey, even honey from the honeycomb. So you may have noticed that we're doing Psalm 19 a little bit early, which is we're reading it next week, and I've gotten a bit ahead of myself. And that's because Psalm 19 is actually my favourite chapter. This is maybe a bold claim, but it's my favourite chapter of the whole Bible. I think it's partly because I love being outdoors, I love creation, and also, you know, I love words and that sort of thing. So I asked Rachel if we could have special permission to bend the rules a little bit, and she very kindly said yes, thankfully, because I'd already written it. I didn't read the rules very well. But as I said, I love words, I love reading, I love writing, and you could say that I'm a bit of a sucker for words in general. But why is that? Well, I love them, I think, simply because they communicate stuff. They tell you about the person who spoke or wrote them. And it's a bit like we were looking at with creation. God's laws and God's word is another way that he chooses to communicate with us and communicate himself to us. And in so doing, again, he reveals himself. So in this psalm, David, he writes about God's word, and he's very effusive throughout the whole thing, as you've seen. He says, God's word is perfect. Why? Well, it's perfect because God himself is perfect. It gives life. And it gives life because God is the giver of life. It's trustworthy because he is trustworthy. Simple, it's clear, it's right and joyous, radiant, it's pure, enduring, righteous, and it's revelatory. These are all things that God says, that David says about God's word in the section we just read there. And it's quite a long list of very good things. But why is it that God's word, the Bible, is all these things? Well, it's because God has these qualities and his word reveals him. So I'd encourage you, open up the Bible, the Psalms like we've been doing, the Gospels, because God will reveal things about himself to you as you do it. And you'll get to know him, and you'll even become more like him. And that is probably why David says that God's word is worth more than a whole load of gold. Because, I mean, when you think about it, what's the value of money when you compare it to knowing the Creator God? So Psalm 19, the next section, it doesn't end with a third and final revelation. Instead, I think it ends with a question. It leaves room for another revelation to come. So we'll jump straight in. Where we left off, it was talking about the greatness of God's laws. And it says, by them, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. And then I will be blameless and innocent of great transgression. And may these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock, my redeemer. So as we've seen, God's word, it tells us what a righteous life can look like. And David knows that keeping God's law, it brings great reward. But he asks, who's actually able to keep these laws? I mean, we can probably all relate to David in this section where he's talking about how he falls short of God without even knowing it or even realizing. He does stuff wrong without even meaning to. Confuse my notes. Which is why David, he asks God to protect him and not to let sin control him. But sadly, we know from the very honest accounts of David's life as he grows up, that when the shepherd became king, he didn't stay blameless for the rest of his life. But there is someone who is blameless. When I read the end of this psalm, it brings to mind that person who was and is innocent of great transgressions. The person who didn't sin. And the person who broke the power of sin on the cross. And this person, he set us free. And he can forgive your hidden faults as well. So I'm sure you're aware I'm talking of Jesus, who is the revelation of God. He is God made man. He is the fullness of God revealed in human form. And so I'd encourage you, as I come in to close, to look up at the night sky, look out at creation, because you will see the Creator revealed. So I challenge you, see God in everything. Open up your Bibles. Read the Gospels, commit to the river reading plan, as I'm sure most of us are doing anyway, because you'll be able to get to know God better. You'll be able to grow closer to him, and you'll be able to become more like him and become your own revelation of God to other people in your life. And again, I'd encourage you, see Jesus, or as a look on the face of Christ, one of River's main catchphrases. He's the one who spoke creation into being. He's the one who hung the stars in space. He's the one that the Bible is about. He's the one the Bible's pointing to. He is the perfect and final revelation of God. Thank you.
Dave? Brilliant. Thank you, Dan.